The winning score came about through a series of communications with program directors, listener research, and roundtable discussions like the one you're about to hear. This tape features Charlie Van Dyke and Jim Long, plus programming consultant Glenn Powers and TM sales representative and former air personality Jay Stoller. They discuss the state of contemporary radio programming and methods for improving format flow and increasing the variety, entertainment, and effectiveness today's radio so often lacks. The winning score is a direct product of research like this. Many basic programming principles have been incorporated into the winning score, as well as innovations in styles, sound, and technique. We feel that everyone who listens to this tape will come away with a fresh perspective on contemporary programming. Now, Charlie Van Dyke.
I think it's easier to start with the recent controversy of playing jingles and not playing jingles, and some stations have dropped them and some have kept them. Some still play 140 and some play none. The jingle, particularly when it got to the stage where many stations were running only one, it was a highly repetitive thing. There was little or no variety, thus a potential irritant. It was being said the same way every time it was said, and so some programmers felt that to get on the intro of a song and to let the disc jockey or a performer do that gave more variety to the way in which the name was said and therefore potentially made it stand out better.
The jock transition, I think, has always been the mark of a professional-sounding radio station.
Okay, but I still worry about consistency of that performance. Even though you may have really good air performers, I worry about consistently putting that name of that radio station out there each time perfectly.
Some jocks say the call letters in such a way that is exciting. They find the groove on the end of the record. Like, I noticed you can match the intensity and the excitement level of the first record and provide identification. Like, if you're coming off a really good record, it's KHJ, and then you can drop your voice and you can move into, you can go for something very hard into a Muskrat Love and make the two go together.
How often can that disc jockey do the goal, which is to match the record so closely and have that call letter association? There's also no support for that call
letter. And again, how many times can a guy do that, even in a variety of ways, matching the tempo of the music, and still do it so that it doesn't become an abrasive?
Not only that, but the shotgun logo tended to be too intense for the elements that went before it and that came after it. It overbuilt.
Well, that's the problem also. Even when you go back before the shotgun, station logos only dealt with the song that came afterwards. We had no connection at all with what came before that jingle. So we have a potential problem there where we go from a raceway spot to Muskrat Love and ask that song to bridge it. I think that's difficult. In earlier days, we had a moderate logo, which was a halfway bridge. It took care of the song, but didn't take care of the spot. We had to come up with some way to bridge the whole thing together and go from that one intensity of commercial or element to a intensity of music and cause that flow to be activated in there. Let's not even call them a format logo anymore. Let's consider them production aids, flow activators. It's based on that we have X number of feelings created by commercials or elements that are on the air. We may have a really nifty Wrigley gum jingle. We may be dealing with member FDIC. We may be dealing with Sunday Raceway. Now, what do we do with those varying kinds of endings? You see, we can't control any of that space that we sell. We give away this blank piece of air and let the client put on it whatever they want within the bounds of good taste, but we don't even retain, in most cases, production or quality control. And then when this major 60-second or 90-second or 2-minute block of time is taken away from us, we have really no way to gracefully connect back in. And sound is our whole product. We give that away. We have to find some way to get control of that and connect. So we have these varying kinds of commercials and types and tempos. So we create, let's say, 5 to 8 to 10 styles, feelings, moods,
variety,
tones. And we want to catch whatever tempo that client space has given us and bridge the gap into whatever the mood is. It's kind of similar to what they used to do more music jingles and sweeps. They tried to connect what came before to what came after.
Right.
Even then, when you're dealing with commercials, you just can't say it's fast or slow. There's all different kinds of feelings. Sometimes you want to catch the high.
It's an attitude, really, more than a...
Yeah. If we have a really classy commercial, we want to catch that high and flow with that into this neat music we're going to play. Or if we have an irritating commercial or a potentially abrasive commercial, we want to cause some kind of buffer. See, well, that's the beauty of the idea, because we don't know what attitude is going to be in that space. Once we find that out and we know what song we want to play, we can connect those two things. How do we establish the fact that we have indeed done what we said we'd do, which is return to music? Have we gotten their attention at all?
And left an impression.
Have we made any impression at all, or did we not interrupt that process enough to get our call letters out there?
That's the real object of the radio station, is for long, average quarter hours of listening. So if you can make it flow into an extension of a spot set into the music, then, you know, that's a good idea. But the most important thing is getting the impression of your call letters into the mind of a listener.
Now, you made a point. I kind of think of flow as comfortable and consistent progression. And if we're going to ask the disc jockey to bridge that gap from the ending of the tune into whatever bit he has into the beginning of the spot set, then we're going to do the very same thing coming out of that spot set? I don't know that we have used all the variety available to us.
We haven't for sure used the available dynamic range.
No.
We've not used the medium at all. No use to say we're using the medium with a shotgun jingle. There's no way to say we're using the medium with a voice intro.
I also think that without variety, we reduce the possible penetration of retention of those call letters. If the only way we do it is the disc jockey and the intro of the song, then that's only one way. Even if we have different kinds of songs, it's still only one way. We've missed a portion of the variety that could drive that home easier, I think, or more.
It's not backed up by anything. There's no way for a listener to kind of hang on to a logo that they play over in their mind. They just can't replay a disc jockey saying KHJ in their mind. But they can get some positive reinforcement from a jingle.
Seems the music prints a lot better than the voice.
Plus, we also know from looking at diaries, disc jockey names are very seldom ever mentioned. So we're relying on that person who has proven his inability to make an impression to make the impression of the call letters.
Is it totally his job to sell the radio station?
I think it's his first job, but I think he needs some tools to work with. His first priority is to assist in penetrating the listener's mind with what it is they're listening to. But are you going to send a performer out on stage to sing a song with no band
right. And
no spotlights? Or if you think of staging on a radio station and he has one spotlight on him, that's one effect. And yet for other feelings and other tempos and moods, we might want to do some backlighting of reds and greens and blues
right.
And have some
colors.
Support of that spotlight.
Coloration.
So I don't think we're giving the jock enough tools. If we simply send him into the room with his mouth and a stack of records, he needs a little orchestration for that radio station, some support. I think we got tricked into a make it simple, stupid bag, and we tried to stress this simplicity factor, and we forgot all about staging and showmanship. One of the things that we've let go of, we can put all the records in whatever orders we want them in, but we've never really gotten the consistency we need in promotions and contesting and productions and the essential area of station imagery that's written and produced, put on the air as, in essence, a mini commercial for our radio station. As a younger guy growing up, driving around, listening to WLS and getting a feeling, as I heard WLS, there was a feeling about that. So I knew who they were and I knew where they were on the dial. But I also had a feeling. There was
an attitude was connected with it.
There was a definite attitude, you're right. So that also brings up another point. There would be then several ways to make a statement. It doesn't necessarily have to always involve singing the call letters. So what you, I think, need to find is other ways that the logo and the feeling and the theme and the flow can now be connected in everything you do that has to do with your radio station.
Well, an orchestration of every available bit of time that you have to advertise your radio station on the air.
If there is that consistency, then what you get to do is say something else and not take any more time to say it. There's some subliminal something happening while you're going ahead with the business of winning. When you get into a situation where you offer the programmer all these alternatives, imagery, with, without vocals, listener tracks, winter montage freakout tracks, station instrumental logos, punctuators, theme activators, all of this from the same concept package, then you give the programmer greater freedom and flexibility than ever before, while allowing that same programmer more consistency and support in an apparent freeform situation, unquote. Because we do want to appear to be
spontaneous.
But we also know from history that the secret of radio is consistency and comfort. Another way to think about that is, if you have this consistent production bed series available, while you are rapping on whatever it is, under here, while you're taking no more time, you're saying no more, there is, again, this reinforcement going on because there is that same feeling.
Yeah, yes. What do you think, listener, when they hear 93KHJ, what do you think happens?
They probably won't hear it, but I think it would be into their computer. It's just a positive reinforcement.
Oh, the consistency. You have to remember in the beginning, when 93KHJ was created, it didn't exist. There was no 93KHJ, and there were two numbers and three letters, and that was written down on a piece of paper. And what that 93KHJ was later to become, or the feeling it was to create, was all done by imagination and presentation and packaging. It's interesting to me that when you see, again, it's all image. Here are just two words. I say to you, Sears Roebuck, and you get a response. And then I say to you, Neiman Marcus, and you get a response. Now, granted, we don't want to get into a thing of whether we're going to sell Gucci or whether we're going to sell rain boots. It doesn't matter. But I'm suggesting to you that by saying those names, there is a feeling created.
Take this humongous orchestra, and it's playing the KHJ logo on these long executions that take no more time because they're under contest promotions. And there's this big, big feeling, bigger than life, classy, full of strings, and the band is pounding, and it's saying KHJ, or it's saying your logo over and over and over and over again. What if we could say big, huge, classy?
What if you can be mass appeal, comfortable, consistent, and yet the biggest and the best, and therefore the obvious choice? Because people want to be with winners. They want to be with the person who's leading the way. And of course, the way radio leads the way is to listen to that way from the listeners. So if we've heard them well enough, then we should be able to translate back to them something that says, we got it.
And only we got it.
And only we got it. They may, in fact, occasionally hear another radio station and think of me, because when they think of this kind of music or this kind of excitement or this kind of packaging, which means when they think of pop radio, if I have packaged my call letters best, they're going to think of me.
You've been listening to Charlie Van Dyke, Jim Long, Glenn Powers, and Jay Stoller discussing the philosophy behind The Winning Score. For more information on The Winning Score, call us collect 214-634-8511. Ask for Jim West or Jay Stoller. The Winning Score is a copyrighted radio identification promotion from TM Productions, Dallas. Bob Magruder speaking.